As I walked out in the streets of Trujillo, as I walked out in Trujillo one day, I saw a young soldier all wrapped in white linen, all wrapped in white linen and cold as the clay.
He was a small, thin man. They marched him barefooted out on the sands where the ocean swirled over the beach and raced back again. He turned and faced a firing squad. His name was William Walker. When he was taken prisoner, his captors wanted him to admit to American citizenship. William Walker, the son of a Scotsman and a native of Nashville, shook his head.
The president of Nicaragua is a citizen of Nicaragua.
You're listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Tennessee legends. Tonight, the story of William Walker of Nashville, the gray-eyed man of destiny.
William Walker. What memories that name brings back. He was born right here in Nashville. Let's see. It must have... Yes, in 1824. He grew up, but he'd never grew tall. Some folks said because all his energy was used up in brain power. He was out of the university by the time he was 14. Yes, I remember William Walker. You know, he had the strangest eyes. He never lost his temper, but when he was angry, and a small man is angry much of the time, his eyes turned gray and cold as ice.
He started out as a surgeon, a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania. Afterward, he toured Europe, Paris, Heidelberg, London, and into the misty Scottish countryside where his father was born.
You have been very kind to me here in the land of my forefathers, but 2 years is a long time to be away from my home. I must go back to Nashville. If I'm to be a doctor, there is no reason to delay getting started. I must go home. I must go home. Who is she? That beautiful woman in the red chair by the fire. Why hasn't she been dancing?
You haven't heard of Ellen Martin? But then you've been back in Nashville only a few weeks. And Miss Martin is not often at parties. You see, she is not only deaf, but she cannot speak, either. That was the woman with whom William Walker fell in love. Beautiful Ellen Martin of Alabama, voiceless and unable to hear, but so lovely that she made her friends forget her tragedy.
I am going to New Orleans. Ellen is there, and I can be a lawyer in New Orleans as well as in Nashville.
He turned aside his family's protests. They pleaded. He had dropped his medical practice and turned to the study of law, and the family had agreed. But leave Nashville and marry a girl afflicted as Ellen Martin was? It was unthinkable.
I am sorry to hurt you, but my mind is made up. I'll pack my books tomorrow. As soon as I can arrange passage, I'll go to New Orleans.
He left Nashville, and for the first time in his restless life, young William Walker seemed to be happy and at peace. In New Orleans, he found laughter and love and music.
Plaisir d'amour n'adore qu'un moment, chagrin d'amour dure toute la vie. Joys of love endure but for a day. The pains of true loving throughout a lifetime stay.
If Ellen Martin had lived, I think William's life would have been very different. I saw them once, talking with their hands in the sign language, and both so happy. Then to think of what happened to him later. Drifting out to California in the gold rush days, commanding desperate men in one after another of those filibuster expeditions to Central America, facing a firing squad in Honduras. The lives of men take strange and unexpected pathways. In the last 10 years of his life, William Walker crowded the strangest, wildest adventures.
Yellow fever swept across New Orleans. Ellen Martin was among the victims. William Walker was left with only a bittersweet memory and her gold crucifix. He went to California with the 49ers. For a while, he eked out a living as a lawyer-editor. Then William Walker turned to a new career. He became a soldier of fortune.
We'll move on La Paz by this route. Conquer that city and have the whole grip on Loyal California. The state of Sonora is weak. As soon as possible, we'll move in that direction. An exit, too.
The campaign was a success. William Walker proclaimed the Republic of Lower California and called himself El Presidente. But the success was short-lived. The uneasy unity of his conquering army shattered like cheap glass. Walker shot 2 ringleaders of the mutiny, drove 2 others into the Mexican desert. Food supplies dwindled. He lacked medicine for the sick and wounded in his tough little army. Walker headed for the California border.
I am surrendering to you, Captain. Take good care of my men. I am ready to face the charges that I have violated the neutrality laws of the United States.
Walker was tried and acquitted. San Francisco gave him a hero's welcome.
Times have changed so since those days. Today a freebooter, a filibuster like William Walker would be in prison. But we were a young nation then. Expansion, push on to new frontiers. Those were the slogans when I was young, and when William Walker was cheered in the streets of San Francisco.
The campaign in Lower California was only a dress rehearsal for the great adventure, the capture of Nicaragua.
I signed a contract with the Nicaraguan government to provide an army, colonists we call them, to put down a revolt. We arrived, 56 of us, in midsummer of 1855. But by that time, Costa Rica had fielded an invasion force. It took us 3 months to push the invaders out of Nicaragua. But we did it.
The news dispatches from Central America were sketchy, often long after the event itself. Eventually, though, we in Nashville read about William Walker again. My newspaper rustled in my shaking hands. He was the president of that little nation, inaugurated in Granada, Nicaragua.
They won't let us rest, General. We're a threat to every other government around us. Costa Rica, Guatemala, Salvador, Honduras. Watch out for them. I've given you the core of your defense, my own men. The next step is to seize Commodore Vanderbilt's boats. I mean it. His transport company has no right to use our ports.
Walker found he had a tiger by the tail. Cornelius Vanderbilt, with a roar of rage, rushed and crushed the regime of the little soldier of fortune from Tennessee, shut off his supplies, put money in the hands of his enemies, forced him to surrender to the United States Navy. The sloop St. Mary's brought Walker to New York, but not in disgrace. The crowds cheered him again.
I must go back. I must. I am their president.
Another landing, this time with 150 men, and once again the American Navy halted him. Walker surrendered again, returned to the United States, bided his time.
This time we will succeed. Here is my plan. We will land on the coast of Honduras and march overland to Nicaragua. Enter Granada and take back the government. We'll have to seize the town of Trujillo in Honduras, but that can be done. I'm sure of it. To land at Nicaragua would be to give away our presence. The American and British navies have warships there.
It was the summer of 1860, the last summer of William Walker's turbulent life. The landing on Honduras soil was an accomplished fact. Walker boldly and recklessly seized the town of Trujillo. Then a British man of war hove to offshore. "Surrender, or we'll bombard the town off the map and your troops with it," the commander of the warship told Walker. The invaders began a retreat down the coast. Hunger and sickness thinned the ranks.
"We can't go on. This campaign has failed. But we'll try again."
Walker surrendered to the commander of the man of war. "You're an American citizen, are you not?" the commander demanded. Walker's eyes were icy with anger.
"The president of Nicaragua is a citizen of Nicaragua."
And so they turned him over to the government of Honduras as an enemy of the country. Barefooted, hatless, he stood on the beach with his back to the ocean and his gray eyes fixed on the firing squad. A bandage across them? He declined. "Ready! Aim! Fire!" He crumpled, fell, and died, with Ellen Martin's golden crucifix in his hand. His blood stained the brown sand of the Honduras beach a deeper color. And aboard the British man of war, the commander turned to a fellow officer and said, "I never met a man quite like him, coiled tight like a spring, all pride and anger and ambition. By heaven, if William Walker had had another schooner, I believe he would have declared war on Great Britain herself."
As I walked out in the streets of Trujillo, as I walked out in Trujillo one day, I saw a young soldier all wrapped in white linen, all wrapped in white linen and cold as the clay.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Tennessee legends. Tonight you heard the story of William Walker, the gray-eyed man of destiny who left his home in Nashville, Tennessee to follow an impossible dream, and died in front of a firing squad on a beach in Honduras. Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey, comes to you every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice. The storyteller was Bill Allen. Tall Tales is produced by Marjorie Cooney and is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services of WSN, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company in Nashville, Tennessee.